All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So we left off. Today's daf is daf Chaf Aleph. We left off yesterday on Chaf Amud Beis, three lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara says the following. First of all, Yasher Koach to Ari for the beautiful breakfast today. Thank you. All right, so we left off three lines up from the bottom. Ameimar Shachav Le Barbere. Ameimar's grandson passed away, literally the son of his son. So his grandson passed away. Kara Iluyem. See, he tore Kriya. You to that middle seat is open. Simon's not here this morning. Oh, is that coffee? Okay. Or over here? Look how much everybody's concerned for you. All right, so remember again, of us, like going in line with what we said yesterday, so remember again the concept that if someone whom you are obligated to mourn for himself goes ahead and loses someone, or herself loses someone, that you are obligated to go ahead and sit Shiva or observe mourning as well. So therefore, Ameimar's grandson passed away. Ameimar was going to go ahead and observe mourning. What did he do? Kariluya, he tore Kriya. Asabre, but interestingly enough, when he tore Kriya, his son was not there. Asabre, his son then came, Kara Ba'ape. He tore again. Now Rashi points out, interestingly enough, Rashi points out, Asabere, Hadr Amemer Kara Ba'ape Dibre. So apparently, as we pointed out yesterday, the notion of observing Avelus for what we call Shniim, when someone whom I'm obligated to mourn, himself or herself loses someone, that's a concept of kavod, of deference, of honor that I give to my relative. Therefore, again, Amemar understood the fact that he did Kriya not in the presence of his son. He hasn't really fulfilled the obligation to give kavod to his son, and therefore he did Kriya again. Now, interestingly enough, Itgar Demiyushav Kara. He realized that after he did Kriya for the second time, he realized that he did Kriya sitting down. Therefore, Kam Kara Mu'umad. He tore a third time. Now again, this time in the presence of his son, ultimately again, but now this time standing. Recognize that Ameimar held that you have to do Kriya standing up. Amli Ravash na Ameimar. So Ravash said to Ameimar, Kriya de Mu'umad Minalan. How do you know that you have to do Kriya standing? Dichsiv. Vayakam Iov, Vayikras Mi'ilo, because the pasuk says Iov stood up and he tore his clothing. So this is after Iov heard about the death of his children. He stood up and he tore his clothing. Top of Chafalif Elameato. But if that's the case, Va'amad Va'amar lo Chafatzi lekachto. When this Torah speaks about again the concept of Chalitza, this Torah says the man will stand up and he will say, "I do not desire to take her. This is his sister-in-law. This is his deceased brother's wife." Hachanami, are you going to tell me then that Va'amad also means that you have to stand up for a chalitza? Vatanya, but we learn ben Yoshe, ben Omid, ben Mota. You could do chalitza in whatever position you want. You could be sitting, standing, reclining. Muta literally means laying on one side. The point is that we're not makbid on what stance you assume for chalitza. So you see over there that va'ama doesn't have to mean dafka, you're standing. Amalei, here's the difference. Hasam lo ksiv vaya'amol v'yomar. See, here's the difference. When it comes to chalitza, the Torah doesn't say, and he shall stand, vaya'amod, and say, rather, hacha ksiv vayakam vayikra. See, here's what's interesting, is that lemaisa, the Gemara says, everything depends on the verbiage. Over here, the pasuk is va'amad, so va'amad is not a lashon of tzivoy, va'amad is almost like a statement, he'll be standing, does he have to stand, he doesn't have to stand, but apparently that's the usual position, also since, remember, that chalitza is often administered within Beis Din itself, much of what happens in Beis Din is done with the litigant standing, however, again, by the pasuk in Iov, it says, vayakam is a lashon of Iov went out of his way to stand up, therefore the Gemara understands from here, that lemaisa is an obligation to stand for Kriya. Amar Rami Bar Chama, Minayin L'Kriya Shimu. Similarly, Rami Bar Chama says, from where do we know that Kriya has to be done standing? Shnei Emar quotes the same pasuk, Vayakam Iov Vayikra. Iov got up, Iov stood up, ultimately again, and he tore his clothing. To which the Gemara says, Dilma Milsa Yisei Rasu David. Maybe Iov was going above me, meaning maybe there's not an obligation to stand for Kriya, but Iov was doing something extra on his own. De'ilo Teimachi, because if you don't say this, so remember the Pasuk also says, Vayagas Esrosho. Vayagas Esrosho literally means he pulled the hair out of his head. That Eov was in such mourning over the loss of his children that he pulled the hair out of his head. Hachanami, are you going to say again, meaning is there an obligation to pull your hair out of your head for mourning? Of course not. So perhaps I could say that the same way that he pulled his hair out of his head, which again we actually, the Torah discusses actually that one is not supposed to do that. But again, he wasn't doing it for the sake of making a bald spot. He was doing it was just a reflexive reaction of grief. So the same way that pulling the hair out of his head was not an obligation. So too I could say that the standing up is not an obligation either. Rather, therefore, we need to find an alternate source from which to find for an alternate source for the concept that kriya must be done standing up. So rather, we learn it out from here. Vayakam hamelech vayikra es begadav. The pasuk says. Pasuk says in Shmuel Beis, the king stood up, and he tore his clothing. I will say, this is by David HaMelech. Interestingly enough, this is after the revolt of Avshalom. Remember, when Avshalom rebels, so David HaMelech got a false report that Avshalom had killed all of his siblings. When David HaMelech heard that report, the Pasuk says the king stood up and tore his clothing. So from here we see that what? That kriya must be done mu'umad. V'dilma milsa yisera sa'avid. But maybe you could say again that David HaMelech, that's not obligatory to tear your clothing. David HaMelech was going above and beyond. D'ilo tema achi, because if you don't say this, remember the Pasuk also says v'yishkav arza. He slept on the ground. Now, obviously, the Gemara says, V'hatanya, we learned, Yashav agabe mita, if a person sits on a bed without a mattress, agabe kise, on a chair, agabe udaini gidola, Rashi says, udaini is a machtesh, a large mortar, agabe karka mikulon, lo yate de chavasam. We'll say, the Gemara over here is talking about the obligation of kfiya samita, the obligation of overturning the bed during Shiva. So the Gemara points out that if you do any of these other things, right, so you don't satisfy the obligation of kfiya samita, including what? Including sleeping on the floor. So if you sleep on the floor again, that's not fulfilling your obligation of overturning the bed. So what do you see from here? You see from here that David HaMelech slept on the floor. See, clearly he was going above and beyond that which is obligatory. So why don't you say the same thing, that when he got up and he stood kriya, when he stood up to do kriya, he was also going above and beyond the obligations to which the Gemara Rabbi Yochanan. What it means to say when it says that David HaMelech slept on the floor, it doesn't literally mean he slept on the floor. It means it's like he slept on the floor. Meaning what? He overturned his bed. And sleeping on an overturned bed is tantamount to going ahead and sleeping on the floor. So we'll say, what comes out over here is it appears that the Gemara seems to learn the concept of standing for Kriya from one of two sources, either from Eov or from David HaMelech. Each of the sources has its kasha. That's why both of them work beautifully in concert together. This is halacha lemaisa. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that kriya must be done mu'umad. Obviously, a person has a health condition or something else, but that kriya must be done in a standing state. And the Rama actually paskins that if you did kriya sitting down, you actually halacha lemaisa have to repeat the kriya again, this time standing up. No, it has to be a new kriya. Tan Rabbanan, ve'ilu dvarim she'avel aser bohem. These are the things that an avel is not permitted to do. Aser b'malacham, an avel is not permitted to do malacha. Now again, I will say malacha over here doesn't mean like malacha in the Shabbos type of malacha. Malacha means work. And avel is not supposed to work. Not supposed to do his work. Ubirichitza, washing. Sicha, anointing. That refers to creams, to ointments. Obviously, that does not refer to things that someone needs for medical conditions. Let's say a person has very dry skin or a person has other things. For that, they're permitted to use ointments. It talks about more in terms of luxury items. Ubitash mishamita, marital relations. Ubini ilas a sandal, wearing shoes. Va'asra likros betora ubinevim ubiksuvim. And a person, avel, is not permitted to learn Torah, Tanakh. Ulishnos b'mishnah, can't learn Mishnah. B'medrish u'b'halochus, u'b'ashas, u'b'agodos. Essentially, an avel can't learn any kind of Torah. Of course, again, the caveat to this, and we'll see this later on in the Gemara, is that the avel is permitted to learn things that are related to avelos. So say, for example, an avel could learn sections of Moed Katan, this Gemara that we're learning now. An avel could learn Echa. An avel could learn Eov. An avel could say Tehillim. Things that are, by definition, either supplicatory or mournful in nature, an avel is permitted to learn. This is very interesting. Let's say the Avel is someone who the masses need. Now it's interesting. Rabbi Tzvi Chalom Rashi says lidrasha, right? Let's say he is a very prominent teacher of Torah, and again the masses need him. Masses need him. Meaning, what does it mean? The masses need him. That without him, there will be a lapse in Talmud Torah. Without him, a void. Thank you. There'll be a void in the teaching of Torah. So the halacha is Eino Nimna. Rabbosai, such an amazing thing. In that case, the Avel is permitted to go ahead and learn Torah for the sake of the Master. Rabbosai, it's an incredible insight in general in terms of how Judaism balances the needs of the individual versus the needs of the collective. The truth is, there's a very simple calculation. The needs of the collective always win. The needs of the collective always outweigh the needs of the individual. So a person, Chas Hashem, is in Avelos. If the Rabbim, if the collective needs him, his Avelos is set aside, and he must be there for the rabbin.
Not regular work. Yeah, but the collective needs him because he's the critical man in whatever process.
Also, if there's something significant, suddenly he's a president, right? I don't know if that's so significant. Right, I'm saying okay. And you know, if he needs to develop policy, you know, let's say on. One could make the argument that if someone serves a critical need, someone in Achanami serves a critical communal need outside of teaching Torah, that there would be certain dispensations in Avelos, 100%. So, all right, we'll say weiter. All right, Umaasa, email Rabbi Silber at SuburbanOrthodox.org. Umaasa, Umeis Benosh Rabbi Yossi Betzipo. Okay, so what happens? One time, the son of Rabbi Yossi, died. V'nichnas lebeis hamedrash v'darash kol yom kula. So the Gemara tells an actual example of this, that the son of Rabbi Yossi died, and Rabbi Yossi darshan in the beis hamedrash the entire day. Obviously, Rabbi Yossi was someone who was necessary, who was needed, and as such, again, lemaisa, he was permitted to go ahead and teach Torah, even though he himself was in the midst of personal avelos. Rabbi Barba Chana, Isra Beimilsa. Rabbi Barba Chana, Isra Beimilsa means something bad happened to him. In the Gemara, that's a metaphor for loss. He lost a close relative. Suffered the lemefik lepirka. He assumed that he should not go to the shir. So Rabbi, again, remember, this is not attend the shir. He assumed that he should cancel the shir. He was the one giving the shir. He assumed that he should cancel the shir because he's an avelus. Amr Rabbi Chanina, im hayu rabim srichano, eno nimna. So Rabbi Chanina said, well, look, we learned that if the masses, and Rabbi, I want to point out also, masses, you know, doesn't have to mean like a person is a godel hador. Masses mean that the community in which he lives depends on him in order to go ahead and learn. So now, remember, just to get our names right, so Rabbi Barba Chana figured he's going to cancel the shir because Nebuch, he lost a relative. Rabbi Chanina says, no, you can't cancel the shir because if you cancel the shir, there's not going to be learning. The rabbi needs you. You should go and give the shir. Savar le'ukme amora. Aleis. Interestingly enough, so therefore, once Rabbi Barba Chana was going to give the shir, he assumed that he should go ahead and also establish an amora. Now, what was an amora? Well, so it's very interesting. You know, sometimes people who have great knowledge don't necessarily have great oratory ability, or don't necessarily have the ability to go ahead and take complex issues and break them down into more digestible pieces. So it's interesting, you see this throughout the Gemara, that you had great Talmidei Chachamim, but Lav Dafka, they knew either how to communicate ideas in a sophisticated fashion, or how to break down concepts for just regular people. So they had an Amora. Who is the Amora? So Amora literally means a spokesman. But the Amora was someone who was able to take the concepts and convey it to the man. So Rabbi Barba Chana figures he's going to bring his Amora with him. So Amrle Rav, Tanya, we learned, Ubilvachlo Ya'amid Turgaman, that this idea of us is very interesting. So if a person is in Avelos, but the rabbin needs him, so he's permitted to go ahead and teach Torah, but he has to go ahead and teach Torah with a Shinui. So what's the Shinui? The Shinui is expressed because it was, remember, you have to, what Gemara is saying is, you have to have some recognizable sign that the individual, that the Rebbe, is in Avelos. Because otherwise people will forget that Talmud Torah is ushered during Avelos. So what's the Shinui? The Shinui, the change takes place with the way he utilizes the Torgamon. Now to tell him not to have a Torgamon at all, to tell him not to have an Amora, that's not a good idea because who's going to suffer at the end of the day? It's going to be the people in the audience. So what do you do? Listen to this. Elehechi of it. So what should we do? Kiha de Sanya, as we learned, Ma'ase umeis b'no shrabi hude bariloi. One time the son of Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi died, v'nichnas lebeis hamedrash, and he went into the Beis Hamedrash, meaning Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi again was one of the Gedolim, so the Rabbim, the populace needed him. He was going in to give the shir. V'nichnas Rabbi Chananya, ben Akavya, v'yashav bitzido. And Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya sat next to Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, v'lochosh hu Rabbi Chananya bar Akavya, and Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi whispered the shir to Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, and Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya leTurgamon, and Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, he gave it over to the Amora, to the Turgamon, to the spokesman, uTurgamon hishmiya leRabim, and it was then the Turgamon, the translator, so to speak, the spokesman, who gave it over to the populace. You better clear your calendar for that day, right? So the idea here. So remember, what's the Shinui? The Shinui essentially is whereas normally the Rebbe would give over his words right to the Turgamon, right to the Amora. In a case where the Rebbe is in Avelos, the Rebbe gives it over to another individual, and that individual gives it over to the Turgamon, and the Turgamon, remember we're using the words Turgamon and Amora interchangeably. The person who translates or breaks down the complex concept into more digestible pieces, he then gives it over to everyone else who is assembled. And therefore everyone sees that again, everyone sees that there's a shinui in the learning process, and they understand that there's still a prohibition of learning Torah during Avelos, but they want to see that the Rebbe is important, and therefore he's permitted to learn, but the shinui reminds everyone of the Ikra Halacha. No, it's the Turgamon. Gives it to, correct. It seems to be Turgamon was normal course of events. Then Rabbanon. Avel gilmu yom ha'yushurim asal aniach tefillin. The Raisa says that an Avel does not put on tefillin for the first 3 days of his Avelos. Mishlishi ve'elich, ushlishi bichla, from the third day and on, and the third day is included in this, mutter lahaniach tefillin. I will say what that means is, according to this first opinion, well, let's see. But if new people come who have not come to visit him until that point in time, he does not take off the tefillin. Divi Rabbi Eliezer. These are Rabbi Eliezer. So we'll say Rabbi Eliezer's sheet is, and we'll see why, that you don't put on tefillin for the first 3 days. But it's not really the first 3 days. What it really means is the first two full days and part of the third day, and mikzas yom kekula, part of the day counts as the whole. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, you don't put on tefillin for the first full 2 days and a little bit of the third. From the third and on, you could begin to put on tefillin. And if new people come to visit you who have not visited you during that first time, you need not take off your tefillin. Rabbi Yushur Bishua says, Avel beiz yom harishonu asa aniach tefillin, u'mishini v'sheni bichla motel aniach tefillin. Rabbi Yushua holds that an avel can't put on tefillin for the first 2 days. But from the second day, including the second day and on, you could begin to put on tefillin. V'imba'u panim chadoshos choleitz. But if new people come, you should take off your tefillin as a sign of mourning when they come to visit you. So Rabbi Osai, in Rabbi Yoshua's model, you're really not putting on tefillin for what? For the first day, or and a little bit of the second day, but from the second day and on, you could already begin to put on tefillin. But again, he's different than Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Yeshua holds that whenever new people come to see you, you have to what? You have to take off your tefillin. I will say, remember, the Gemara operates with a model that people pretty much wear tefillin the whole day, right? The whole day, right? Again, if you're going to work, you would not wear your tefillin, but assuming you weren't going to work, right, you would go as, meaning like casual dress for Sundays, whereas like pretty much your tefillin. Right, you're tefillin in your Sunday tunic. You know, so the idea was that when you were not engaged in something else, so therefore, if a person was mourning after the first day, you'd put on your tefillin. But as a sign of mourning, whenever someone new came to visit you, you would take off your tefillin as a display of mourning.
Is that only on the Mikzas Hayom day when you take it off?
Yeah.
Choleitz is on the Mikzas Hayom day. Correct. Either day two or three. Correct. That is correct. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Nasna, my time with Rabbi Lazar. What's Rabbi Lazar's logic?" Rabbi Lazar holds that you don't put on tefillin for the first 3 days, but it's not really 3 days; it's really the first 2 days. What's his logic behind that? Dechsiv veyitamu yimei. The pasuk says over here, "Vayitmu yimei bichi eval Moshe." Literally, the days of the crying for Moshe ended. Now, also, what Rabbi Lazar darshins is the basic definition of Yimei is how much? 2 days. Therefore, Rabbi Lazar holds that there are 2 days of intense mourning. Again, everyone agrees that there's Shiva, but there are 2 days of those seven that are the most intense days of mourning. And therefore, the days of greatest mourning intensity are days on which we do not go ahead and put on tefillin. Amar Rav Anya, my time is Rabbi Yoshua. What's Rabbi Yoshua's logic? Because the pasuk says, "Va'acharisa ki yom mar." The pasuk in Amos says, and it's afterwards it will be like a bitter day. So you see from here that's what? That the greatest intensity of mourning is for how long? Is for one day. So again, they're both dashing different psukim. The first approach will dash in that again, there are 2 days of major intense mourning, and the second interpretation will say that there's 1 day of intense mourning. Now the common denominator is, each are going to hold that the 7 days of Shiva are not the same. There are greater periods of mourning intensity, and it's during those periods of intense mourning that one does not put on tefillin. Rabbi Yoshua holds that you don't put on tefillin for 1 day. What does he do with the pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu that seems to indicate that the greatest intensity of mourning is for 2 days? So Rabbi Yoshua will say simply, Amar lecha shiny Moshe de takif avle. You can't bring a raya, you can't bring a proof from the Avelis on the morning of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, right, was the Navi. So of course, again, perhaps the intensity of mourning for Moshe Rabbeinu is not a normal intensity. V'Rabbi Elazar, Nami Haksiv V'Achrisik Yomar. What does Rabbi Elazar do with the pasuk from Amos that seems to indicate that the intensity of mourning spans for how long? Just 1 day. So the Gemara says, Kiyomar, Iker Merira Chadayomahu. It's true that the greatest intensity is felt for 1 day, but still some of that intensity spills over into the second day, even though recognizing that what? That on day number two, the intensity of day number two is not as great as day number one, but it's still intense. Amar Ula says, Halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer b'chalitza, v'halacha k'Rabbi Yoshua b'hanacha. What does that mean? The halacha was Rabbi Elazar with chalitza. What does it mean with chalitza? Rabbi Elazar holds that once you have license to put on tefillin, you need not remove them, even if new people come. So we pass in that once you're permitted to put on tefillin, you don't have to remove them. And the halacha was Rabbi Yeshua with putting on tefillin. Namely, Rabbi will say what? That there is a prohibition to put on tefillin for the avel for the first day. And I will say that is how we pass in halacha lemaisa. I think we've actually learned this already, although not as explicit. The halacha is an avel does not put on tefillin on the first day of his avelus. I will say again, I don't mean on ninos. Clearly, in the period between death and burial, where a person is what's called an onein doesn't put on tefillin because an onein is exempt from all positive mitzvahs. But we're talking about now after burial. It's the first day of Shiva. A person is once again obligated in all mitzvahs. An avel does not put on tefillin on the first day of his avel. And I will say, the reason why you'll say to yourself, why I never heard of that before, is because more often than not, you don't think about it. Because remember, a levaya is sometime, usually, it's not at 6:45 in the morning. So remember, at Shachris time already, usually the avel on the day of the burial was still what? Was still an onein. So therefore, they weren't putting on tefillin anyway. The kasha is now, after the burial, is the avel obligated to put on tefillin? He hasn't put on tefillin that day. Is he obligated to put on tefillin? And the halacha is no. An avel does not put on tefillin. Now, there's an interesting shaila in halacha. What happens if a person says, but I want to put on tefillin? Meaning, what kind of pitur, what kind of exemption is this? Is this a voluntary exemption? Or is this a forced exemption? Most of the poskim understand that in fact, or Rishonim understand, that this is a forced exemption. That Chazal said an avel does not put on tefillin on day one, even if you want to, because again, avel, remember tefillin we saw from Yechezkel, is called fe'ercha, it's called splendor, it's called the crown, and an avel, it's not appropriate for him to put on a crown, to put on something splendorous? Splendiferous. Sounds like a sweetener, right? Splendid, right? Something splendid on the first day. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach Zeir Tzadik Levracha Paskins that if an avel on the first day wants to put on tefillin, he is permitted to do so, but he must do it b'tzina, right? He must do it privately and without a bracha. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach is really a das yachid. He really is. He really stands alone on an island with this one. The majority opinion is, which I think is conventional general practice, an avel does not put on tefillin on the first day, like the psak of Rabbi Yoshua. No, then after the first day, you become obligated in all mitzvos, completely. I mean, you're obligated already on the first day. Just tefillin is the unique exception. No. We paskin just on the first day itself. So it's a little bit of like a hybrid model of Rabbi Yoshua. Meaning, because Rabbi Yoshua really, in his essence, only counts as the first day. Once already second day, he says second day is bichlal. Ibayluhum, bisheni. B'sheni le'ula, le'ula choletz, o eino choletz. So we'll say, so the question now is, Ula says we pass like Rabbi Yoshua, so what happens on the second day? If new people were to come, would be obligated to go ahead and take off the tefillin or not? Tashma amar Ula, choletz umaniach afilu me'apamim. Ula says that no, on the second day, halacha l'maisa, you'd have to take off and put on the tefillin as many times. Meaning if someone new would come, you'd have to take off the tefillin every time, even if that means 100 times. So both say, Tayin amelchi, Yehuda ben Tema omer choletz umaniach afilu me'apamim. Yehuda ben Tema says, if new people come, because Rabbosai, remember, if people who have not yet comforted you come, so you have to be in a state of mourning. The wearing of the tefillin is not the acute state of mourning. Therefore, you'd have to take it off as many times as necessary. Rava Amar Rava says, which is how we pass, in Rabbosai, Kevan Sheniach Shuvein Acholit. So, no, we don't have this idea of putting on, taking off. We don't put on the first day, but once you have license to put on tefillin on the second day, there is no, meaning what that means is, Rabbosai, technically speaking, if the Avel wanted to remain in his tefillin throughout the entire day, technically he has the license to do so, and he has no obligation to remove that tefillin when someone comes to visit. So the Gemara says, V'ha Rava, hu da'amar alacha kitana didan, da'amar shlosha. But one second, the Gemara points out something very interesting, that Rava was the one himself who said that. What? Look at Rashi, Vama Rava, last Rashi in the Daf, Le'el b'kfiya samita, halacha kitani didan, da'amar b'gimo yomim ikra avelos, ha'chenami nibai gimo yomim, and he quotes over here, shelo lahaniach tefillin, in the Hagos, Habachi changes it. So we'll say, Rava was the one who said that the three first days are the three most intense days of mourning. If that's the case, then perhaps Rava should hold that you shouldn't put on tefillin for the first 3 days, to which the Gemara answers, no, mitzvah shiny. It's different. When Rava says the first 3 days are most intense, that means, yes, certain mourning behaviors are most acute on the first 3 days. But when it comes to a mitzvah, we're not going to make you miss out on a mitzvah for 3 days. First day is, again, the most intense part of the morning. Therefore, again, one halacha l'maisa will not put on tefillin, but past the first day we do. Tan Rabbanon. I will say, now what we've established is something very interesting. So if you look at really, this Gemara is quite systematic in that it's following a progression. We went a little bit out of chronological order. So we've established, again, the source for Shloshim. We've established the source for Shiva. And now what we've done here is we've established the fact that not all the days of Shiva are the same. Meaning from the fact that the Avel does not put on tefillin on day one, but will put on tefillin the remaining 6 days, shows us that Lamaisa, not all the days of Shiva are of the same mourning intensity. The Gemara now takes that and goes to Tan Rabbanan, Avel Gimel Yom HaRishon. So an Avel for the first, okay, fine. For the first 3 days, I just want to point out one thing. And before, you should know, in the Shitos of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, so remember again, Rabbi Eliezer saying 3 days, which are really two, Rabbi Yoshua saying 2 days, which are really one. Remember, in Rashi's understanding of their Shitos is that Lamaisa, really according to Rabbi Eliezer, on morning of number three, you're already going to be putting on tefillin. And according to Rabbi Yoshua, on morning of number two, you're really already putting on tefillin. It's just that technically speaking, they include that second, they include that third day, but really in their models, they're already allowing it. So it's really two versus one, and we pass in like the one, not the two. All right. Tan Rabbanan. Avel gil miyom harishon, also from melacha. An avel for the first 3 days of mourning is not permitted to do melacha. I mean, I both say, what the Bryce is pointing out over here is that the first 3 days of mourning are the most intense of the Shiva. So really, you're not supposed to do any work on the first 3 days. Va'afilu ani ha-misparnes minat tzedakah. Rabbosai, even an ani who is supported from tzedakah. Rabbosai, what that means is even someone who is so poor that he lives hand to mouth, and if he doesn't work, he's not going to have what to eat, he still can't work. He still can't work on the first 3 days. Rabbosai, so you'll say to yourself, what should he do? Rabbosai, so it's amazing what Chazal is doing. What should he do? That's what community is, right? So community is that someone is in Avelos, and you know that they depend on working every day. The community must step in and provide for the individual. Mikan ve'elich, from here on in, Rabbosai, that's very interesting. From the fourth day of Avelos and on, Ose b'tzina. Rabbosai, this is a very important halacha, and this is indeed halacha l'maisa. So you have circumstances. Let's say, again, you don't even have to get very dramatic. A person runs a business. So, okay, perhaps I could plug a hole for the first 3 days, but at some point in time, I may have to just take care of a couple of things. The halacha allows for that after the third day of mourning. However, b'tzina, a person must do it quietly and privately. Besoch Besa, within his home. Va'isha tava bepalach besoch Besa. A woman is permitted, meaning if a woman is in Avelos, so again, and we'll qualify this more in the coming dapim, she's also permitted to go ahead and weave on her with her spindle within her home. Ten Rabbanan. Avel gimel yom harishonim in a holik lebeis avel. We'll say it's an interesting thing. Let's say again, Reuven is in Avelos, and he hears that Shimon lost a loved one as well. We'll say sometimes this happens, unfortunately, where you have multiple losses within the same family, but within different branches of the family. So now let's say again, the Reuven wants to go and visit Shimon. Shimon might be his good friend, or Shimon might be his family member, because Shimon's also sitting Shiva. So what's the halacha? For the first 3 days, an Avel is not permitted to leave his home, even to go to another Beis Avel. Mikan ve'elech holich. But after the first 3 days, so an Avel is permitted to go to another Beis Avel to be Menachem Avel. But interestingly enough, when an Avel goes to another Beis Avel, when a mourner goes to another house of mourning, remember, Avel 1 is in Shiva, he goes to another house of mourning to console Avel B, who's in Shiva. Avel 1 doesn't sit where the consolers sit, but rather he sits with the mourners. You should know, in general, the minag today is that generally the Avel does not leave the home. Unless, of course, again, the other mourner is a close friend or a close relative, or specifically requests that Avel 1 comes to visit him. The general minag is that an Avel does not leave the home during the course of Shiva. Ten Rabbanon. Avel gimel yom harishonim asur b'sheila shalom. We'll say a very interesting halacha as well. An avel during the first 3 days is not permitted to greet people. Mishlosh shiva ad shiva, mei shiva ino shoel. Right, so from 3 through 7. So if someone greets the mourner is permitted to respond, but the mourner himself is not permitted to greet someone else. Mikan ve'elich, from after shiva and on. Mikan ve'elich sholo meishiv kedarko. You go ahead and you could ask, you could greet someone, and you could respond in a normal fashion. So the Gemara says, shlosh yom harishonim. Let's break this up. Shlosh yom harishonim asur b'sheila shalom. So also remember again. So the Braisa just said that for the first 3 days, an avel is not permitted to greet anyone. So it sounds like he can't greet and he can't respond to greetings. Vatanya bat we learn. Also listen to this. Ma'ase umesu banav sharabi akiva. So it once happened that the sons of Rabbi Akiva died. Now I will say Rashi changes this, that it's not banav, it's beno. Right? It's not he lost his sons plural, he lost a son singular. Whichever one it is. Nichnesu kol Yisrael. It's actually a very moving story. Nichnesu kol Yisrael. V'hespidum hespid gadol. So there were an incredible number of people that came to the Levaya. And then afterwards to the Beis Avel. It literally means that a great number of people came and eulogized them with a great eulogy. Meaning there were massive numbers of people that came. V'amar. So Rabbi Akiva. B'shas p'tirasan. As the people were getting ready to leave. Amad Rabbi Akiva al Saf Sol God. Rabbi Akiva stood up on a bench, va'amar, and he said the following: Achinu Beis Yisrael, my brethren, Shimu, listen to me. Afilu Shnei Banim Chasanim Menuchim, who Bishvil Kavod Shasim. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Afilu Shnei Banim Chasanim. Even had I lost 2 sons, and those 2 sons were married, meaning had they apparently they died earlier. They this whether it's 1 or 2. They died younger. He said, even had my sons been chasanim, newly married, which means, again, that the pain would have been even more amplified, menuchamhu, this great assembly of people would have given me nechama, would have consoled me. Bishvil kavod shasisem, v'im bishvil akiva basem, if you came because of me, that can't be, hare kama akiva b'shuk. Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, I know you're not here for me, because me, there are plenty of Akivas in the marketplace. There are plenty of people like me. Elakach amartem, so why are you all here? Because you said to yourselves, Toras elokav belibo, because you understood, apparently Rabbi Akiva's son was already a budding Talmud Chacham. So you came here because you recognized that my young son, was the embodiment of Torah. The kosh, so you came here to respect Torah. The kol shekein shescharchem kafel, all the more so that your reward should be doubled. Lechu levateichem l'shalom. go home in peace, knowing that you've done something beautiful here today. So the Gemara is bringing this as a kasha, because you just said that in the beginning of Shiva, right, from days 1 to 3, you can't greet anyone, and here you have Rabbi Akiva going ahead and essentially bidding farewell to everyone, to which the Gemara says something amazing, Kavod Rabim Shaini. It's different. That although an Avel can't greet, when we say that, that's who? That's to individuals. But to thank the general populace, or to greet a great number of people that come, that you're permitted to do. So the next part of the Braisa was, from days 3 through 7, if someone greets the mourner is permitted to respond, but the mourner does not proactively inquire about the welfare of another. But after Shiva, Shol Umeshiv Kedarko. You can go ahead and you can ask, you could inquire about someone's welfare, and you could respond to a greeting in a normal fashion. Or Minu, raises the kasha. Hamotzi es chaveiro avo b'soch lamid yom. If a person finds his friend in the midst of Shloshim, medaber imo tanchumin, you speak words of consolation. Ve'emo shol b'shlomo. But during Shloshim, you don't ask a person how they're doing. Meaning you don't inquire about their welfare. Why not? Because the answer is pretty obvious. Of course they're not well. They just lost a loved one. La'achar lamid yom, after 30 days, shoh b'shlamo. After Shloshim, you ask how the person is doing. Ve'eino medaber imo tanchumin. Interestingly enough, you do not console them after 30 days. Or we'll say, we'll see why, because the assumption is after Shloshim, a person is beginning to heal. And if you keep bringing up the loss, you don't let them heal. Listen to this. Mesa ishto venasa isha acheres. If a person lost his wife, and he married another woman. Now Rashi points out over here, besoch shloshim. Let's say a person lost his wife, and he remarried within shloshim. Okay, so and he collected the insurance money, by the way, right? So a person went. Now what does that mean? Now Rashi points out. We will see that there are certain exceptions. For example, the Gemara will bring down if a person lost a wife and Nebuch, he has young children. So he needs someone. He needs a wife. He needs someone in the home. So there is a dispensation for a man like that to get remarried within the Shloshim. So let's say again, he goes, also understand that again, the notion of marriage, we'll get to it. It's a whole sugya. It's a fascinating sugya. So Gemara says, if a person lost his wife and remarried within 30 days, and someone sees him, eino rashoi likanis labesu ledaber imo tanchumin. If you walk into his house and what? The new wife is there. Do not offer him words of consolation for his first wife. It's absolutely unfair and hurtful to the new wife to go ahead and come in and offer words of kashrut. So you'll see also, we'll discuss this, we'll discuss tshuvas about what a person does about the yartzeit of a first wife if he's remarried. Right? Does a man who's remarried observe the yartzeit of his first wife or not? We'll discuss that halacha l'maisa. Not yet, a couple of days from now. So the Gemara says, however, b'shuk, if I find this person in the marketplace, Omer lo b'safa rapa, or b'kovid rosh, I go ahead and I greet him quietly, I give him words of consolation quietly and seriously. So meaning, if I see him during Shloshim outside of the house, I could give him words of consolation. If I see him in the house and his new wife is there, I may not give him words of consolation. But I will say, the point is, what do you see from here? What you see from here is that l'maisa, again, the way our Bryce has said before, is that pretty much after Shiva is over, so you could go ahead and you could greet the individual, respond, no problems. Here you see that it's not true. Here you see that certain prohibitions extend through Shloshim. Amar Avidi bar Avin, hu shol b'shlom acherim, shachirim shruyin b'shalom, acherim ein sholin b'shlomo, shu eino shruy b'shalom. So both halacha l'maaseh, the Gemara says, what Rav Idi bar Avin says is like this. After Shiva, until Shloshim, the Avel is permitted to inquire about the welfare of others. Because Baruch Hashem, they're doing okay, and he should be nice and inquire about their welfare. However, others should not inquire about his welfare. Why? Because since he's still in Shloshim, the assumption is that he's still heartbroken over the loss. But the fact that it says that he's able to go ahead and respond indicates that what? That you're permitted to ask the Avel how he's doing, even during Shloshim, to which the Gemara answers, Delo Yadi. No. What does it mean? It means that if Rabosa in the course, of Shloshim, if someone who doesn't know that he's in Shloshim asks him about his welfare, he is permitted to go ahead and respond. Ihachi hasam nami. I besotu, that should be the same thing in Shiva. Hasam modaluhu velo mahadaluhu. Here's the difference. That when he's in Shiva, if somebody asks him about his welfare, what does he do? He tells them, listen, unfortunately, I'm in Shiva, and I can't respond to your question. Hacha lo tzarech le'udeinhu. But in Shloshim, you don't have to go ahead and tell the person, I'm in Shloshim. In Shloshim, what do? You could respond to the person's greeting. Or minhu, the Gemara raises the kasha. Hamotzi es chaveru ava b'soch yud beis chodesh. If a person finds his friend, and his friend is within the 12 months of mourning for a parent, medaber imo tanchumin. You can go ahead and say words of consolation, but you do not ask how he's doing. After 12 months for a parent, you ask him how he's doing, and you no longer offer words of consolation. Means you could kind of hint to the loss. You don't speak about the loss overtly, but you could hint to the loss. Rameir disagrees. He says, no, after 12 months, you do not bring up the loss at all. Even indirectly. Why? Listen to this, is amazing. Because if you bring up the loss, Lamahu Domer, listen to this mashal. La Adam Shinishpura Raglo Vachaiso. So this could be compared to a person. I broke my leg, and Baruch Hashem it healed. Matza Rofe Vaomer. So we'll say, listen to this. So this could be compared to, I have a friend who's a doctor, and the friend says to me, oh, your leg healed wonderfully. Do me a favor. Let me break it again. Because I just discovered a new way to heal the bone, and I'd like to see if it works. So the Gemara says, you know, after 12 months, a person has hopefully undergone some process of healing. So for you to go ahead and issue words of consolation, you know, so what are you doing? Oh, I want to see if I can make you feel better. But let me see if I can make you feel better by first bringing you down a little bit. Let me make you feel worse. Let me open the wound. Oh, and then I'll put a Band-Aid on it afterwards. So I'm going to rip open your wound, remind you of your loss, and then I'll go ahead and put a bandage and some ointment on it, hopefully make you feel better. So Rabbi Meir says that after the 12 months, we do not go ahead and bring up the loss at all.
This would apply to somebody that didn't see their friend for 12 months.
That is correct. I never saw the individual. That's it. So I want to point out, this is a machlokis, because the first opinion said, everybody agrees that you can't bring it up overtly, right? You can't bring it up directly. The first opinion says, bring it up in a smart way, indirectly. Rabbi Meir says, no, after 12 months, you have to let a person move on from the loss. And I will say, obviously, it goes without saying, if the person brings it up to you, if the person brings it up to me, then obviously that shows they want to discuss it. If they want to discuss it, I can discuss it with them. But what Rabbi Meir is saying is, you can't be the one who actively brings it up. Let's just do two more lines, to which the rest is Lokasha. So we'll say, you see from here that again, the prohibition on greeting an individual extends much longer. It depends on what the loss is. For a parent, you're careful how you greet the individual again throughout the entire 12 months. But for others, after the shloshim already, you're permitted to go ahead and greet them in a normal fashion. To which the Gemara says, "Hasam nami yedaber imo tanchumin minatzad, enachi nami umay eno medaber imo tanchumin kedarko, aval bedaber imo minatzad." So also the Gemara says, "You're right. The halacha maisa, even in that case, it means you don't give them words of consolation directly; rather, you give them only indirect words of consolation." All right, well, say no, we'll stop over here for today. But again, I just want to point out what comes out from this. Halacha l'maaseh, something very interesting. From days 1 through 3, halacha l'maaseh, the Avel does not greet, and the Avel does not return greetings. Days 3 through 7, so the Avel still does not greet, but the Avel is permitted to go ahead and return greetings. From Shiva, at the end of Shiva, through Shloshim, in that case, again, the Avel is permitted to go ahead, and the person is permitted to go ahead and give words of consolation, but does not go ahead and greet the Avel. But if somebody does greet the Avel is permitted to go ahead and what? And return that greeting. For parents, the remaining 11 months, so a person is permitted to give words of consolation to a person who has lost their parent, but a person should not go ahead and just jovially greet the Avel. However, if they did greet the Avel is permitted to return the greeting. All right, let's stop over here.